Well, I thought we'd begin this morning by a little introduction to our series. And this series is all about the good news of Jesus going to the nations. And therefore, it's just worth us having a little think about London. Because we live in a 21st century global city that is ethnically, culturally, and socially diverse. Current estimates are there are 6.8 million people living in this city. We live in a city where less than 50% are white British. We live in a city where over a third of the population were born abroad. And that makes us second only to New York City. There's over 250,000 people in this city born in India. Over 150,000 born in Poland. And over 100,000 from Ireland, Nigeria, Pakistan and Bangladesh. We live in a multicultural melting pot of a city. Now I think we do know this. We just have to think about the people we see all around us day by day. Our neighbours, our work colleagues, the children in our local schools, the people you see and meet on the streets. Here at church on Thursday, we ran a whole bunch of different activities during the day. I think we met people from Eritrea, from Albania, from Zambia, from Romania, from Iran, from Russia, from Poland, from Nigeria, from South Africa, who were coming to our groups here and learning about Jesus. Many of those wouldn't profess to trust him, but they were willing and open to finding out. So as we look around and think about Grace Church and our life as a church going forward, we would love them to be, wouldn't we? A church that reflects the city and the community of which we are part of. But I don't think it's helpful to have a long introspection about what we're not currently, but rather to look around and see the opportunity to tell the good news of Jesus to people from many nations. So, as we come to this series in the book of Acts, I hope this series looking at chapters 9 to 12, and we see how the early church had to learn that the gospel is for everyone. Well, also God will speak to us in the same way. The Holy Spirit in their day had to do significant work to break down ethnic and social barriers, to persuade the early church to break out of where it was, to go to other people to speak of Jesus. And wouldn't it be wonderful by the end of this series if we as a church were more committed to reaching all types of people with the gospel? And so with that in mind, let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Now we have looked at the book of Acts previously in the series. It's been a little while though since we left it in Acts chapter 9 verse 31. But I'd like us just to go back to that verse. If you've got a Bible in front of you, just turn back a page. It's up on the screen. And let me just read where we left off last time we were in the series. And then the church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. This verse marks a sort of chapter break, so to speak, in the book of Acts. The church has been growing and it's at peace. The Holy Spirit's been at work. Praise God. But the key here is geography. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria. Which sounds fine until you remember chapter 1 of Acts, which for those of you here in church last week, who were not on Revive, we spoke about. You see, Jesus was quite clear the good news of the gospel was to go from Jerusalem to Judea. That was on the screen. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Yes, they were to go and make disciples in Judea. Yes, they were to go and make disciples in Galilee. Yes, they were to go and make disciples in Samaria. But Jesus was clear they were to go to the ends of the earth. So as we pick up our series, it seems to me that the church has got stuck. Stuck in Samaria. It has failed to go any further. I'll just flick through one more slide again. Here we go. This is a little visual diagram. Some people find visual things helpful. This is the book of Acts. You see, it starts off in Jerusalem, goes through into Judea, then into Samaria, being witnesses to Jesus. But it's got to go to the ends of the earth. And we pick it up in chapter 9, where the gospel's stuck in Samaria. And we're going to see in chapters 9 to 12 how God is going to be able to break out, so for the rest of the book, it can go to the ends of the earth. And Luke, the author of Acts, begins this section by bringing us back to the Apostle Peter. And you read about these two characters, Aeneas and Dorcas. Why does this little episode get put at the beginning of this section as the church used to break out from Samaria to the ends of the earth? Well, I think the key is this. Luke wants us to see that Peter continues the work of Jesus. Peter continues the work of Jesus. So the first thing he does is he establishes Peter's credentials. He shows Peter to be Christ-like. Because as Peter's position is established of what he's going to do, as he then has to learn himself that the good news of Jesus has to go to the ends of the earth, we see that that is Jesus' plan and purpose. Let me give an illustration which I hope helps. So a government ambassador, if you're going to appoint them to a foreign country, they're sent with a letter of credence. Essentially, the Queen sends a letter to the foreign country. So, for example, if someone was to be appointed as ambassador to the United States, she would send a letter to Donald Trump saying, this is my ambassador, and they represent me, and these are their credentials. Jesus is saying, Peter is my man, he has my authority, and my credentials to go on this mission and task. And when Peter next week has to break through the barrier and go to the Gentile Cornelius, Luke has done in Acts, set up Peter's credentials, as that is what Jesus wants him to do. So let's have a look at that this morning. And the first thing I want to see is that Aeneas is healed. And that that healing matches what Jesus did in Luke 5. So let's pick it up. And we're in a place called Lydda. And then just click on again. Now, where is Lydda? So there is Jerusalem, about 25 miles away to the northwest is Lydda. So we're very much in Judea-type territory. The second episode is going to take us over to Joppa, and we'll come back to that in a minute. So there we are. Peter, he's been strengthening the churches, verse 32. He's been bedridden for, and he meets this chap called Aeneas, who's been bedridden for 8 years. Okay, it's just worth stopping and reflecting on this. If you've ever broken an arm or broken a leg, you know what it feels like even after a few weeks in plaster. Your muscles waste away and your ability to do things is not quite the same. So think what it's like for this man. He spent 8 years bedridden. And Peter speaks to him. And what does he say? Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. And we get this word, immediately, Aeneas got up. 8 years bedridden. Peter speaks, Jesus heals him, gets up and walks. Now, that extraordinary miracle. But of course, if you know your Bibles, you'll know that Acts is part two of part one is Luke's gospel. And Jesus did a very similar healing back in Luke 5. Do you remember the story of the paralyzed man who came through the roof of the house? He had four friends who wanted to get him into Jesus. The house was packed out. So they make a hole in the roof and they drop him down. And Jesus then says to him, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees and teachers of the law get cross. Because Jesus, of course, by forgiving, claiming to forgive sins, is saying that he is God. And Jesus says, to show that I am God, and that I have the authority to forgive sin. He says to the man, chapter 5, verse 24, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately he stood up in front of them. Seems to me that there's a deliberate parallel by Luke. He's trying to establish Peter as a Christ-like character, carrying on Jesus' ministry and mission. And I think we see that in the way that Peter declares it's Jesus Christ that heals you. It's not Peter, it's Jesus. Jesus heals Aeneas. The result of this ministry? Many saw and turned to the Lord. The church continues to grow as Jesus' ministry continues. But then Luke moves on again, and this time he moves to Joppa, so out now onto the Mediterranean coast. Now again, it's just worth saying a few things about Joppa. We're moving quite far away now from Jerusalem. And Joppa is very much, it seems, a Greek city. We're heading into a city that, although would have been had many Jews in it, would have also had a significant number of Gentiles. And so we meet this lady called Tabitha. And I think we even see her Greek influence by the fact that we get her Greek name. She's Dorcas. And what we have is a picture of a very godly disciple of Christ. The lady, how does she get described, Tabitha? Was marked by doing good and helping the poor. And then we have this wonderful scene, don't we, in verse 39, as they point out all the clothes and robes that she had made. And it's one of those little observational points that you get in the book of Acts, where you just see a little glimpse of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. To be part of Jesus' mission and his work. And it seems that Tabitha was just that. Anyway, sadly Tabitha died. And it seems that, interestingly, the local church don't do anything, but they do send for the apostle who's up the road in Lydda. Peter arrives, he's taken upstairs, and the widows are crying. And just note, he sends them out of the room, and then he prays. He then turns towards Tabitha and says, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand, helped her to her feet, and then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. Again, this is another extraordinary miracle. A dead woman raised to life. But I think we're again to see a connection. Do you remember another story when Jesus was alive? The story of Jairus' daughter in Luke 8. Jairus was a synagogue leader, and his 12-year-old daughter was ill. So he comes and he asks Jesus to go to his house. But by the time Jesus has arrived, there's much wailing going on because his daughter has died. So Jesus goes in, Luke notes, with Peter, James and John, and leaves everyone else outside. Again, it's very similar, isn't it, language? Everyone's put outside, just like in Luke chapter 8. And then Jesus took Jairus' daughter by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. It seems to me the similarities are striking. Peter is shown by Luke to continue the work of Jesus, in that in the same way he puts people out of the room and calls Tabitha to get up. But note, when Jesus walks in, he just speaks in Luke 8. By contrast here, Peter needs to pray. And then we get this little remark again. Tabitha gets raised and the church grows. Many believe in the Lord. So it seems to me we have established here, Luke has, that Peter is continuing the work of Jesus. Peter is continuing doing the ministry that Jesus began. I think that's therefore the call for us to continue the work of Jesus, of making disciples from the nations. I'll think through that in a second, but can we just step out? Because I just want to say something about these healings and people being raised from the dead. As we read these stories in the early church, I think the question sometimes you ask is, should we expect that today? This seems to be what was going on in those early days. Let me make a few observations. Firstly, I think it's worth thinking back to Luke's gospel. How did the miracles Jesus do function there? Well, it seems to me they're there because Jesus wants to demonstrate his identity. Jesus does the miracles to show who he is. He also does these healings and raisings to give us a picture of what the kingdom is like that he will bring in. And here in Acts, those continue in the early church. But note just one little observation. The believers in Joppa, they don't carry out this healing themselves. They have to go and send for Peter who's up the road. It seems to be that it's connected to the apostles' function. As we read Acts, Peter will lead the church as it goes out to reach the Gentiles. And it seems to me that at this moment, before the church can break out to the ends of the earth, Luke deliberately wants us to see that Peter is God's man for the task, that he is continuing Jesus' ministry. In other words, it seems to me that these healings here are particularly here to demonstrate Peter's Christ-likeness rather than necessarily being normative for the church. So what should we say about healings? Well, let me say three things. First thing, we must declare that God can heal and raise the dead. God can and does do that even today. And I know there's even people in this church family who can speak of how God has miraculously healed relatives. And God can use that to bring people to faith. So we can and should ask God to heal. So that's the first thing. But I also want to declare something else. God has not promised to heal and raise from the dead. So he can, but he hasn't promised to. So God may not heal and may leave us in this fallen world with our afflictions. God is sovereign, and however hard that can be to hear, the Bible calls us to trust God will work good to make us like Jesus, even in our suffering and our sadness. So God can heal and raise the dead, but he hasn't promised. But the good news is this. One day Jesus will come back, and then all illness will pass away. Jesus will return with a new heavens and a new earth. And so as we see this glimpse of what the kingdom looks like with Jesus when he was here on earth, we will see that perfectly when he comes back, when all who have trusted Christ will be raised to new bodies with no more illness or sickness. And if anyone wants to talk any more about that, do come and chat to me afterwards. So what are the implications for us? And I think the call is this. The church is called to carry on the ministry of Jesus. Jesus has given us a task to go out to the nations and make disciples of all peoples. Jesus healed Aeneas and people turned to Jesus. People praised, Tabitha is raised, people turned to Jesus. Peter is all about making disciples for Jesus. And a faithful church is one that continues the ministry of Jesus. And as we're going to see over the coming weeks, a faithful church is also one that will reach out to the nations with the good news of Jesus. Thinking back to Luke's gospel, Jesus declares this. I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. People were asking him then to go and do healings. He said, no, I've come to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. And that's the call of the church today. That's a question for each of us. Are we going to be part of that plan and purpose of God? Well, I wonder if just in that little moment with Tabitha, we get a glimpse of what that looks like. It seems to me that she is given as an example of someone who is part of doing God's work of reaching out. And God calls each of us in our different ways to do it. That's what I was saying, so wonderful yesterday, to see so many people using their gifts in different ways, be part of that, trying to make disciples of all the nations here in North Muswell Hill. Whether you were staffing treasure hunt stations, or cooking fantastic South African braais and being part of that, doing music for the evening, or any of the other multitude of little jobs. It's all part of this task of trying to make disciples of the nations. But before we leave, I'd just like us to end in that final verse. Verse 43, it seems a little throwaway line. Oh, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Now, on face value, it looks like Peter's travel and hospitality arrangements. But who's Simon? Well, actually, interestingly, he's a tanner. A tanner deals with dead animals. Dead animals are unclean. For some Jews, Simon is unclean. Peter is staying at the house of an unclean man. See, the church has left Jerusalem. It's left Judea. And it seems to me it's hit right at the edge of Samaria. In the sense that we are Peter staying at the home of a man who could be considered by many to be unclean. And the trail is this. How is God, by his Holy Spirit, going to drive the church out to the nations? And that's what we're going to be looking at over the coming few weeks. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this book of Acts and this history that you have given us of that early church. Thank you for this reminder this morning of how we as a church have continued the work of Jesus of making disciples of all the nations. Thank you, we see that with Peter and Aeneas and with Tabitha. And so, Father, would you help us to continue to fix our eyes on the task we've been given of going out to this community with the wonderful news of God's saving love in Christ. Amen.